worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us at this time in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. To them, I will give authority over the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Verses 1 through 28, all of Revelation chapter 2. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to hear clearly from you on a daily basis. Thank you for the many ways that you speak mightily through your word. And so on any given day, we have the privilege of opening your word and hearing you speak from heaven and speak words of blessing, life, and grace into our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you speak to us daily by your Holy Spirit as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be a people that live in a listening mode all the time, listening to your word and your Holy Spirit as you speak words of guidance, counsel, direction, and empowerment to us. Help us more and more to live fully available lives, fully available to your Holy Spirit to accomplish whatever it is that you're calling us to do. And help us to be wise enough to pray like the Apostle Paul, the question prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do? And help us to be fully willing to do whatever it is that you're calling us to do on any given day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to come in agreement. Thank you so much for speaking clearly through your Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask that we'd be attentive and listening and obedient to your guidance. Father, I ask that we'd be more attentive to scriptures too, to your Holy Spirit speaking through scriptures, that we'd hear your voice and that we'd respond. Father, I ask that we would be better at loving others as we should, just like you wrote in the book of Revelation to that church. Father, I ask that we would work better, be more attentive, and walk in obedience and loving others as you have loved us. Thank you so much, Father, for these moments. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're nearing the end of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week here on American Family Radio. Again, just a reminder, American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering and have been doing this over a period of many years, but we're partnering to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. We're asking you to help us reach a generation of young people and get the Word of God back into the public schools through the distribution of the popular tool, the Truth for Youth New Testament, getting it to teens across the nation. Again, we're inviting you to call in or go online. You can go to tfy.org. Of course, TFY, short for Truth for Youth, tfy.org to order online anytime. Or you can call to get the free New Testament. Call this number 1-844-530-8890. Again, that's 1-844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, keep in mind, remember, we're cooperating with Revival Fires Ministries International. We're giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who will commit to passing it on to a friend this school year. Remember, the Truth for Youth Bible consists of the whole New Testament and a number of full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths that our youth are facing today. And also, the Truth for Youth Bible is now available in Spanish as well. And over 1 million Truth for Youth Bibles have already been given away over the past 20 years as a result of this project. Again, our goal this year is to give away no less than 60,000 Bibles. So please get involved. Again, we're encouraging the teen you yourself can call in. If you're between the ages of 13 to 18, you can call to get the free New Testament. Or the parents or the grandparents can call in to get them for the young people as well. Again, the two ways to order, go to tfy.org to order online anytime. Or call 1-844-530-8890. Again, that's 1-844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, this got underway on the 5th, and this project of giving away the three New Testaments does end on the 11th, so that's just a couple days away. So please, please do get involved. We're well on the way to getting to 60,000. Please help us to reach that goal. We're blessed to have with us once again Brother Charlie Wysong. Brother Charlie is a great servant of the Lord who has done many great things for the kingdom of God. And Brother Charlie is he's with us once again to share further about the Ten Commandments yard sign project he's involved with. Brother Charlie, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Brother Joseph. Good to be with you.
Always good to have you. And would you just go ahead and share that website once again? If people are wanting to get these yard signs, and you're going to share more about it, but if they're wanting to get these yard signs to place one in their yard, what is the website to go to?
It's 10laws.us. And you can put the number 10 in there, or if you can spell it out. But it's 10laws.us.
All right.
We have had a good response from people on that website to buying Ten Commandments to put in their yard. In fact, it's all across the country, some in Pennsylvania, some in Louisiana and Texas and other places around Kansas. But we've had a good response.
That's good. That's good. Well, would you take a moment once again for persons that might be hearing about this for the first time, tell them what this project is about?
Well, we're trying to put 1 million yard signs across America before the election. We are in desperate straits. Our nation is being destroyed before our very eyes. It's actually on a daily basis. And we don't seem to understand why, and we seem powerless to stop it. And if I could say, maybe answer those two questions, why is it? Well, when I go into churches and I test them and I say, I'd like you to write out the Ten Commandments, they don't have to be in order. They don't have to be word for word. Not even 1% of Christians who regularly attend church can name all 10 of the commandments. Mm-hmm. And God says in Hosea 4:6, and most people know the first part of the verse, But I want to emphasize the last part of the verse. And the first part says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And we have forgotten. Go ahead.
Well, Brother Charlie, I was just going to mention, I want to remind our listeners once again, the yard signs do consist of, they carry the Ten Commandments front and back. So when you get a yard sign and place it in your home, you're allowing people in your neighborhood that maybe live close by or that just pass by in a vehicle to look and see the Ten Commandments displayed clearly and broadly right there in your yard. And you know, Brother Charlie, I think it's so good to remind people, yes, you're discipling the people that see it. And if someone says, well, how can you do that? Well, the fact is you're sharing the word of God with them on display, and there's power in God's word no matter where you find it. So just people seeing it, it's an act. The Holy Spirit will do something in the life of every person that sees the Ten Commandments front and back on that yard sign. So I think it's just one more good truth to be mindful of, encouraging every listener to consider getting one of those yard signs.
Well, let me just give an example. A good man bought a yard sign from me, and he lives in Baltimore, and he lives in the downtown area of Baltimore, not a very lawful area of town. And he said after he put his Ten Commandments in his front yard, the prostitute who lived across the street backed up a moving van there, packed up, they left.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were two men who were sodomites. They lived next door. They packed up and left. He gave a sign to a friend of his who's in a high drug trafficking area of Baltimore, and he said the drug trafficking around his house stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes along with the testimony of the music director at our church.
Mm-hmm.
And he put one in his front yard. His neighbor, who said he cannot utter a sentence without taking God's name in vain, he and his wife stopped taking God's name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling this to my son, I was coming back from a conference, I said, why would we think this is strange? I said, the Ten Commandments were not given for salvation. They were given to convict us of sin. They were there for conviction. And that's what happened in the life. Well,
and to point people to Christ and their need for Christ as well.
That's right. It's the schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. It's the tool that God uses to prepare the heart so that there's good soil when the when the seed of the gospel goes out.
Brother Charlie, we're about to come up on a break. Would you tell one more time, if someone listening wants to get the Ten Commandments a yard sign, tell them again how they can do that.
Yes, tenlaws.us.
All right.
Tenlaws.us.
All right, and would you just take 20 seconds just to pray a brief prayer for our listeners, encouraging them to get involved?
Amen. Father, we just ask you that we might have a wonderful time in this country of coming back to you. And Father, that people might learn your laws again and teach them to their children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, too, thank you for the opportunity each of us has of being witnesses in the place and the places you've called us to. Help us to be bright, shining witnesses that will shine for Jesus Christ and take a project like this one and do whatever you want each of us to do with it. And help us just to fully
Amen.
Follow the Holy Spirit in the ways you'd have us to, here and otherwise as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie, Amen. For being with us today.
Hi.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, that website is tenlaws.us. We'll be right back.
You're the light in this darkness. You're You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Music from Passion, God of the City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And just before we get into reading through the Word of God, just a reminder that if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start the habit. Remember, nothing will bless your life, empower you, strengthen, and encourage you like the powerful Word of God. So we pretty regularly encourage listeners to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. Today is a good day to start that habit. And parents, we're encouraging you to have each of your children to read no less than 3 chapters out loud to you daily. Again, few, if any, will bless your life more than that of getting into God's Word every single day. Hope that you'll do that. We pick up now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now 2 Kings chapter 24, picking up at verse 8. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan from Jerusalem. Jehoiakim did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father had done. During Jehoiakim's reign, the officers of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came up against Jerusalem and besieged it. Nebuchadnezzar himself arrived at the city during the siege. Then King Jehoiakim, along with the queen mother, his advisors, his commanders, and his officials, surrendered to the Babylonians. In the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he took Jehoiakim prisoner. As the Lord had said beforehand, Nebuchadnezzar carried away all the treasures from the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He stripped away all the gold objects that King Solomon of Israel had placed in the temple. King Nebuchadnezzar took all of Jerusalem captive, including all the commanders and the best of the soldiers, craftsmen, and artisans. 10,000 in all. Only the poorest people were left in the land. Nebuchadnezzar led King Jehoiakim away as a captive to Babylon, along with the queen mother, his wives and officials, and all Jerusalem's elite. He also exiled 7,000 of the best troops and 1,000 craftsmen and artisans, all of whom were strong and fit for war. Then the king of Babylon installed Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, as the next king, and he changed Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. His mother was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. But Zedekiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Jehoiakim had done. These things happened because of the Lord's anger against the people of Jerusalem and Judah, until he finally banished them from his presence and sent them into exile. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. 2 Kings chapter 25. So on January 15th, during the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon led his entire army against Jerusalem. They surrounded the city and built siege ramps against its walls. Jerusalem was kept under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah's reign. By July 18, in the 11th year of Zedekiah's reign, the famine in the city had become very severe, and the last of the food was entirely gone. Then a section of the city wall was broken down, since the city was surrounded by the Babylonians. The soldiers waited for nightfall and escaped through the gate between the two walls behind the king's garden. Then they headed toward the Jordan Valley. But the Babylonian troops chased the king and overtook him on the plains of Jericho, for his men had all deserted him and scattered. They captured the king and took him to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where they pronounced judgment upon Zedekiah. They made Zedekiah watch as they slaughtered his sons. Then they gouged out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him in bronze chains, and led him away to Babylon. On August 14th of that year, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard and an official of the Babylonian king, arrived in Jerusalem. He burned down the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the house and all the houses of Jerusalem. He destroyed all the important buildings in the city. Then he supervised the entire Babylonian army as they tore down the walls of Jerusalem on every side. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took as exiles the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had declared their allegiance to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the population. But the captain of the guard allowed some of the poorest people to stay behind to care for the vineyards and fields. The Babylonians broke up the bronze pillars in front of the Lord's temple, the bronze water carts, and the great bronze basin called the sea, and they carried all the bronze away to Babylon. They also took all the ash buckets, shovels, lamp snuffers, ladles, and all the other bronze articles used for making sacrifices at the temple. The captain of the guard also took the incense burners and basins and all the other articles made of pure gold or silver. The weight of the bronze from the two pillars, the sea, and the water carts was too great to be measured. These things had been made for the Lord's temple in the days of Solomon. Each of the pillars was 27 feet tall. The bronze capital on top of each pillar was 7.5 feet high and was decorated with a network of bronze pomegranates all the way around. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took with him as prisoners Seraiah the high priest, Zephaniah, the priest of the second rank, and the three chief gatekeepers. And from among the people, still hiding in the city, he took an officer who had been in charge of the Judean army, five of the king's personal advisors, the army commander's chief secretary, who was in charge of recruitment, and 60 other citizens. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them all to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And there at Riblah, in the land of Hamath, the king of Babylon had them all put to death. So the people of Judah were sent into exile from their land. Then King Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam and grandson of Shaphan, as governor over the people he had left in Judah. When all the army commanders and their men learned that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah as governor, they went to see him at Mizpah. These included Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Jehonan, son of Kareah, Seraiah, son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, Jezaniah, the son of the Maacathite, and all their men. Gedaliah vowed to them that the Babylonian officials meant them no harm. Don't be afraid of them. Live in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and all will go well for you, he promised. But in the mid-autumn of that year, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and grandson of Elishama, who was a member of the royal family, went to Mizpah with 10 men and killed Gedaliah. He also killed all the Judeans and Babylonians who were with him at Mizpah. Then all the people of Judah, from the least to the greatest, as well as the army commanders, fled in panic to Egypt, for they were afraid of what the Babylonians would do to them. In the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim of Judah, evil Merodach ascended to the Babylonian throne. He was kind to Jehoiakim and released him from prison on April 2nd of that year. He spoke kindly to Jehoiakim and gave him a higher place than all the other exiled kings in Babylon. He supplied Jehoiakim with new clothes to replace his prison garb and allowed him to dine in the king's presence for the rest of his life. So the king gave him a regular food allowance as long as he lived. End of 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles, chapter 1. The descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The descendants of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The descendants of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The descendants of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Rodanim. The descendants of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The descendants of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raamah, and Sabtika. The descendants of Raamah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush was also the ancestor of Nimrod, who was the first heroic warrior on earth. Mizraim was the ancestor of the Ludites, Anamites, and Lehabites. Naphtuhites, Pathrusites, Kesluhites, and the Kaphtorites from the Philistines came. Canaan's oldest son was Sidon, the ancestor of the Sidonians. Canaan was also the ancestor of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Semarites, and the Hamathites. The descendants of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The descendants of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah. Shelah was the father of Eber. Eber had two sons. The first was named Peleg, which means division. During his lifetime, the people of the world were divided into different language groups. His brother's name was Joktan. Joktan was the ancestor of Almodad, Shelef, and Hazar Maveth, Jera, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were descendants of Joktan. So this is the family line descended from Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, later known as Abraham. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. And thank you for the blessings that are ours when we make it a high priority to open your word and spend time with you. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would cause us to have a commitment, a passion, and a hunger for your word. Help us to be wise enough to spend significant time in your word every day as you speak words of wisdom, counsel, life, blessing, and empowerment. Help us to be the diligent students of your word that you've called us to be, and help us to teach and encourage and train our children to do the same, to become diligent students of your word. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that when we're reading your word, we're spending time with you. We're spending time in your presence. You're spending time that allows you to reach into our hearts and mold and shape us to become more and more like you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing, what a privilege, what an act of blessing it is to us to be able to spend time one-on-one with you. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that you'll spend as much time with us in your word as we'll spend with you. Thank you for the blessings that are ours when we really take the time to do that. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of praise, thanksgiving, and glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Of Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are in the midst of our National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio. We're encouraging you to get involved with helping us to work in conjunction with the Ministry Revival Fires to give away over 60,000 Bibles to put in the hands of teens who will in turn pass them on to others who do not know Christ. Again, a wonderful project to help get the Word of God back into our public schools and a great evangelism project that our teens can get involved with. Again, remember that either the teen between ages 13 to 18 can call in to order the Bibles, or mom or dad can do, or granddad or grandmom can call in as well and order them for the teens. Two ways to order them, go to TFY.org, short for Truth for Youth, TFY.org, online anytime. Or you can call 1-844-530-8890. Again, that's 1-844-530-8890. Between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're hoping that you will choose to get involved. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament. In the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. Titus chapter 3. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we, too, were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing division among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth and their own sins condemn them. I am planning to send either Artemas or Tychicus to you. As soon as one of them arrives, do your best to meet me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to stay there for the winter. Do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos with their trip. See that they are given everything they need. Our people must our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. Everybody here sends greetings. Please give my greetings to the believers, all who love us. May God's grace be with you all. End of the book of Titus. The book of Philemon. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. End of the book of Philemon. Thank you, Father, once again for the opportunity to spend time with you one-on-one as we read and meditate on your word. Thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed and enriched as we simply spend time with you in the word. Thank you for how that you touch our lives and pour grace and blessing, peace, strength, and encouragement into our hearts and our minds as we're taking the time to be in your word continually. With every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us this day to become more and more the faithful hearers and doers of your word you've called us to be as well. Thank you for your word, and help us to learn to fill our homes and our families with your word. Help us to be wise enough to teach and train and guide our children to get into your word every day. Help us to make time to have them read out loud to us daily and thus So cause our children to be blessed tremendously by the blessing that comes from simply spending time reading and meditating on your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to commit your life and give your life to Christ. Would you make that step and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord now? And would you do it? We invite you to do it by simply praying this prayer along with us at this time. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I can be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in the Bible, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ, you gave your life to the Lord, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. If you're still wanting to get involved with our National Truth for Youth Bible Week this week, and call, and you as a teen or the parent or grandparent of a teen, if you'd like to order the Bible, simply go online to TFY, short for Truth for Youth, tfy.org to order online anytime. Or you can call 1-844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, 1-844-530-8890.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.